Well, 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 we made it back to episode 2 of season 2. Interesting. My name's Billy Lamond, and you're here with The Harsh Couch, and I'm just getting the hang of all these buttons again, I've got to tell you. It's a lot to do, and I think we found a new solution for dealing with one really gnarly part, so that's terrifically good. So I'm excited about that. The McCool, well, he's gone bush. I think the last thing any of us saw of him was a photo today we'll talk about it later. Now, Dr. Gobb, he's been reading about how low-head dams kill not only rivers, but also people. And he's a little bit perturbed.
Fucking frightening.
What? Tell me about how they kill people. What's the go?
The drowning machine. They were dubbed in the 1970s water safety training video.
And is this because people swim in the outflows of them?
It's because it goes all the way across the river.
Right.
And so there's like an unbroken wave.
Oh, yeah.
And especially if there's a bit of water in there and so there's like pressure from downstream, it makes like a recirculating wave.
Right.
So essentially you get dropped over the dam and then you get looped back up towards the dam by the recirculating wave.
Back towards the dam wall and you just stay in a circle.
Just stuck in a death spiral.
So
in like 1975 or so, there was this kid went over a low-head dam in, I want to say, Buckinghamton or somewhere like that in New York.
Right.
And there happened to be news cameras there. So we've got this footage of like the fire going in the first time in a boat. And the fire chief's fucking standing up in this boat. And you see like the whole boat get lifted by the sort of current from beneath before it's sort of flipped and tipped with the three fireys into the current.
Ugh.
And then a second boat comes behind them
and
does a little bit better for a while but gets flipped in. It's pretty wild.
Oh, wow. I was reading a story this week about a woman who watched her husband drown while he saved the two children. One of those classic rip stories, you know, from the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
I was also read a story. You know these outflows that are in these huge American dams, the big circular outflows?
No, but go on.
They have.
I'm listening.
Well, they're like an abyss in the middle of the water, right? Like there's a.
Oh, do you mean when they open the gate and they drop out the water?
It's like an overflow, but where the water comes from is a big circular intake.
Yeah,
so when you look into it, it's just like a gaping moor, right? Because it's black at the bottom and the water flows in across the top from all sides.
Oh, terrifying.
But there's nothing to hold on to, right?
Yeah,
and
terrifying.
It's certain death going out through one of these pipes, right?
That's part of the low-head dam thing too, that if you do manage to reach the dam wall to try to get out, you've got to climb a wet vertical concrete thing. And likewise, if you get stuck in a recirculating wave in a river normally, it has edges, like you can get out, but the dam goes all the way across.
And it's smooth concrete as well, right?
And if you get to the end, then you've got more smooth concrete usually. So,
oh, great. Dams are fascinating. There's some amazing videos about some of the dam failures, right?
Where there's
huge washouts that have gone under the walls.
And have you come across this waterworks on the lower Mississippi?
Oh, yeah.
Army Corps of Engineers built in the 60s.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Crazy diversion.
Complete crazy diversions that are not ecologically or river flow sound.
The river will take its course.
Exactly,
it's a matter of time.
The river is stronger than you.
But the massive diversion works made by the Army Corps of Engineers in perhaps the 60s were found 10 or 15 years ago to have been hugely undermined
these
monstrous vortices of water carving just caverns underneath. So they had to build like kind of a capping structure over because they couldn't get under it. So they had to build more, bigger, harder outside that one to hold it up.
Just nuts.
Yeah, River v. America. I know who my money's on.
Yeah, rivers. Rivers every time. We'll come back to rivers. There's a lot of river chat to be had, I think.
Yes.
And maybe today's the day. But look, before we get that far, the Colonel feels like he shouldn't be this sore anymore, which sounds to me like it's a story waiting to happen. Colonel, do you want to explain what you saw from?
Just being active, not being able to decide if I should be active or shouldn't be active, and
active in what way? What do you mean, like sporting activity or
like sporting active? Yeah, so I've been playing football on the weekends.
Right.
And that's great, like a great burst of energy for like a couple of hours, and then spend the next couple following days just completely rooted.
Yeah. You're old now.
You know, questioning my life choices. And then, you know, sort of resolve, I'm gonna like keep it up. I'm gonna do more exercise. I'm gonna get properly in shape.
Hustle.
And then the weekend comes around again, and I haven't done anything since the last weekend. And so it all just starts all over again. And I find myself going, well, what am I doing?
What do you care to do? Like, is it just you don't care enough?
Look, at the end of the day, I do it because I love it.
Ah, here we go. There's a reason. What do you love about it? What do you love about exercise?
It takes me all the way across the other side of the, you know, the city. Like, I have to drive further than I normally drive all week.
So your largest driving journey of the week is for you to go and get some exercise.
This is the thing. Like, I've been spending the last few couple of weeks thinking, I should be riding my bike into work instead of driving, and I'm not doing it. And then, of course, the end of the week comes, and I'm like, you could have ridden your bike. You could have done it. You didn't do it.
Yeah, you had options, man.
Yeah.
But now this. Oh, well.
Which is why I shouldn't be this sore.
Yeah, okay. I get it. Maybe spread out a little bit each time rather than just... No, I know that's not how it's done. Right.
It's the cold, man. It's the cold.
I think it is a bit the cold.
It's debilitating, isn't it, the cold?
Well, it just sort of has an effect on the mood and everything.
You'll be happy with this thing we have coming called global warming.
Oh, I was about to go on a whole happier trip. Soon, son, soon the warmth will come in the morning and ye shall feel your sap rising up through your veins.
Sap, you say?
Aye.
Right, interesting. Okay, let's get going.
We're already there, aren't we? Like, it's already warmer than it should be, except for those cold fucking mornings.
The cold mornings, interestingly, are El Nino winter pattern.
Oh, here we go.
Clear skies, cold nights, clear days, no wind. Yeah.
Do you reckon somebody could say El Nino every day for the next 5 years?
I think they're going to say it much more often every 2 weeks or so.
Okay.
Have you noticed there haven't been any El Nino articles for a week or so?
Yeah, what happened?
Well, tomorrow is on Tuesdays every fortnight, the Bureau releases its climate drivers update.
Ah, there you go.
Which tends to provoke a spate of articles about where it's all up to.
The climate drivers update. Do you receive this?
I view it on the old version of the BOM website.
Oh, the traditional version.
To the new website.
You're a traditionalist.
Yeah, yeah, I get a reg BOM.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
It's just what you know.
Yeah, exactly. And if you've been looking at the same maps doing pattern recognition for a while, when they suddenly change the
brain
shape of everything, recognition doesn't work so well.
Yeah. Yeah, look, and a bunch of stuff on the new ones just balked. The radar stuff's completely broken.
Yeah. But yeah, the update will say, basically, that we're still pretty looking fucked, but the Southern Oscillation Index has gone from spectacularly... apparently huge to a bit less so.
Oh, excellent.
Because it had been falling off a cliff into negative numbers, right? So negative 15 being El Nino.
But is this like a false spring or something and it's about to
it's an up and down
bad
number.
Again?
It fluctuates
anyway.
A lot.
Okay.
It's currently fluctuating up from minus 30 towards minus 25. So we're still in some pretty solid territory.
Yeah. Okay.
It was just plummeting. I'll find the graph. I'll put it in the show here.
Yes,
it was plummeting
spectacularly.
And it's taken a little tick up in the last couple of weeks.
Splendid. Oh, good. Phew.
It doesn't change the forecast of kind of a summer coming, boys.
Right, let's get on with it.
I wonder if people are betting on that.
Of course, coming. I bet
of course
they are.
They're betting on it.
I'm sure there's a poly market for that.
Oh, I'm sure there's just in the street. You can probably just go to the TAB and bet on that.
People are betting helpfully on where bushfires are going to start and when.
Oh, no.
Just totally, totally immune to any.
Yeah, no one's going to rig that.
Yeah, no, that should be totally fine.
Oh, man, I love it when the incentives align.
Hey, you got a light? Asking for a friend.
Oh, dear. We should leave little magnifying glasses set up in different places.
I'll give you $1,000 for that cigarette lighter.
We're going to have to restrict fire. It's the only thing we can do. We're going to have to license people for using fire. I think that's it. Like, if you want to have a bushfire, you've got to go and get a license for it. If you want to have a fire in your house, if you want to set fire to your children, people setting people on fire, get a license. Maybe don't set people on fire.
I was about to say, I think also, so often it's an act of passion, setting people on fire.
Yeah, well, let's not talk
about it. I mean, to require a permit would take...
It's disturbing to at least one of our possible listeners.
Well, he's got it coming.
I mean, I'd be curious to see what a licensed version of that looks like.
People setting people on fire. You reckon you could just sign with a waiver? License. It'd be okay. Just sign a waiver and it's cool, man, set me on fire. No worries. I'm good. Is that enough? Again,
no, act of passion.
Which of you madmen is clicking?
It was me trying to find where I put the document.
I'm coming for you.
Oh, fair enough.
I am the anti-click. okay.
I found your pictures of the weather, though.
Oh, good.
If I can just paste it in here.
Ah, yes, excellent. Thank you. Alrighty. What?
If you look in the document, you'll see the 30-day running average of the Southern Oscillation Index.
Yeah, okay. I'll make sure that goes in the show notes. Gosh, it does seem to have fallen off a cliff a little.
Yeah, but it bounced off like a rock halfway down and it's popped up a little for a moment.
Just back over the horizon. Yeah, that's one of those jagged rocks. Yeah. That's where shipwrecks come from, is those little jagged rocks right in close to shore. Okay.
Also dangerous downstream from a low head dam.
Oh, yeah, of course. Particularly if you go over the wall.
All you need to do is put a finger projecting perpendicularly out from the dam wall downstream to break the wave.
Oh, wow.
And provide an exit.
Just one?
Yeah.
Amazing.
You can do a few.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, you'd want fairly chaotic flow, surely, but I guess that does more damage to the...
Yeah, but the if there's a break point, you can get out. You'll get spat out eventually if there's a break point.
Right.
Did we forget they made all these dams because there was no electricity and water was power?
Yeah.
And now they're all just left lying around everywhere.
Well, we should go and liberate some.
Yeah. Yes, let's blow them up.
Yes.
Good.
Just a little bit of blowing them up. Right, okay, a quote of the week, before we get going on some of the bits and pieces. The quote is, "That is not only not right, it is not even wrong." Or, in Pauli's native German, "Das ist nicht nur richtig, es ist nicht einmal falsch." Which also has come to me in a different form from something I was listening to, with someone saying, "That's not funny, it's not even a joke."
Yeah, same sort of notion.
Yeah.
I feel that it will be applicable to some number of items, whichever items are coming up in this fucked up world. Yeah. Like, how do you argue with situations like Trump, for example?
It does feel like there's a lot of chaos coming down already. Right.
Yeah, and there's not an argument to argue with.
Yeah. There's no sense to it. There's nothing coherent you can grab onto. It's the Gish Gallop sort of effect, right? Remember that?
The nonsense
comes so fast you can't process it.
You can't rebut it.
Yeah. And that's very much Trump, very much Trump, right?
Kind of reminds me of Walter from The Big Lebowski.
Sobchak.
You know, it's like, it's like, am I wrong? No, Walter, you're not wrong. You're just an asshole.
Nice. That's an even bolder paraphrase.
Have you seen how much weight John Goodman has lost? He's gotten onto
the GLP. One of those
GLP things, and he is now a waif. It doesn't look like him.
Mm.
You know, it's weird.
There's a lot of that going on.
There does seem to be an awful lot of it going on.
There's a GLP-ish item below I'll put down.
Well, let's talk about it right now. Let's
call it foreshadowing.
Is the American disease glut? Is that what you're saying?
No. Separate item for
separate.
That. Yeah. It's the dodgy internet peptides item.
Oh, yeah, fabulous. Well, why don't we begin there? We can come back to the other things and start with the dodgy internet peptides.
Have you heard of RET?
Rhett? No. Yeah. What's Rhett?
It's everywhere on TikTok, bro.
Okay. And what is
fucking,
it?
All the gym bros want it, all the weight loss. It's a triple antagonist.
Oh, Retrutide.
Retatrutide is the name that it's sort of going by, for want of a better word. It's an experimental peptide. It's a triple blocker. So blocks, as well as the GLP-1s, like the first generation did, and as well as the GDOP that the second generation did, also glucagon receptors. So it's much more powerful sort of an agent, in the sense that it's doing three things at once.
Mm.
It's not actually approved for human use anywhere.
Mm. Anywhere.
No, the social media's gotten ahead of the game.
Oh, no.
There's a small amount of literature about it, as LY3437943, which is what it's sort of called.
Right.
Because that's where it's up to.
And where is it coming from?
Online. People are getting it. I've seen in
But is
my
it actually retatrutide?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like,
but is any of it retatrutide? As in, is there
what's the vermin count?
Production of this stuff happening?
The handful of cases that I've seen have really similar effects, but more so to the GLP ones when they go wrong.
Right.
In terms of gut upset and pancreatitis and liver dysfunction. But there was a cluster of cases in Victoria, the article's linked down there, where seven people got, you know, online procured retatrutide and had really bad liver failure from it.
Wow. Because it wasn't retatrutide, presumably, but they have...
Well, that's sort of suggested in the article, but I think these are really powerful substances. Like,
sure, yeah. I mean, there are plenty of things that will damage your liver that are health, you know, enhancing.
The single receptor agonists are really powerful. That started this wave of, you know, pharmaceutical weight loss and, you know, the GLP-1 face that we're all starting to recognise, and John Goodman and others.
Mm.
But this is doing three things all at once.
For the uninitiated, GLP-1, yeah. A.K.A. Ozempic.
Yeah, that family of drugs.
Or Wegovy as well, right?
They switch on a thing called glucagon-like peptide, am I right? Yeah, glucagon-like peptide is cool. And Wegovy, now which one? I try to use the chemical names because I get confused by the profusion of brand names. But ones like Tirzepatide, which I'm pretty sure is Mounjaro, are double agonists. So they're doing two things. So they're a bit more potent and also have a bit more side effects. But Rhett is not only a triple agonist, but it's also totally unapproved and hasn't completed testing. And people are just getting on it because TikTok said it was good.
Wow. Sounds like it's completed testing now.
No, it's testing. It's just testing in the wild.
Well, that's one way to test it, isn't it?
Does it work?
Does it work? I mean,
fuck yeah. But is this world we're in?
I was reading something the other day about the incredible drop-off in sales of Doritos, which is believed now to be due primarily to the wide use of GLP in the US.
Like, because people don't have appetite.
Because they're not snacking, munching processed foods.
Yeah. Wow.
They don't have anything like that kind of appetite anymore. And so, like, Doritos sales were down 40% or something.
Wow. I had not encountered this, but it makes some kind of sense.
Yeah, curious business.
Yeah,
it's amazing to me that once again, instead of choosing to modify behaviours, they've chosen a chemical solution as a en masse, and we're doing it in Australia, I'm sure, as well now, right?
Very much so.
It sounds a little chicken and egg. I mean, the chemical has modified behaviour.
Yeah, I mean, is the chemical taking us, or are we taking the chemical? That's the old question, isn't it?
The appetite suppression is pretty real, though. Apparently, it's become an issue for restaurateurs.
Well, they could just reduce the size of their portions. American portions have been ridiculous.
Tables full of fancy people not eating their food is a bad look.
Well, it's probably mostly the cocaine, though, isn't it?
Well, there's that. I'm not really here to judge these people.
Aren't you?
A bit, sometimes.
You should go then.
Yeah, okay. No, point taken. I'll judge.
Stick around.
I'm with you, Wibbly. I remember seeing a video on there's this whole series of videos where they compare, for example, Burger King in the US compared to, like, say, Hungry Jack's in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Or there was one that was 7-Eleven in Japan versus 7-Eleven in America. And you know, it's like the so-called same products are wildly different, if in no other way than just in the size of the portions.
Yeah, right.
But also oftentimes in terms of their ingredients as well, and just like, yeah, some of them just look wildly different from one another, even though they're apparently the same product, they're the same food.
Yeah, I was just having this discussion with somebody earlier this evening about the fact that Paddle Pops and their different colours in different countries represent different flavours. A fact I discovered to my disgust in Indonesia one time.
Can you give me an example?
Yellow is banana in Australia, and yellow is durian in Indonesia.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, chocolate is the same in both countries. They're both brown for the Paddle Pop. But the yellow can be anything. In Thailand, I believe it's mango.
Yeah, not unrelated to the GLP-1s in America, the ingredient that they often have is high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Which, don't know, I think we may have visited this before, but it effectively is a really good way of making people get type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, right.
And then those people get overweight, and then they take GLP-1s, which really were originally diabetes drugs. And then they lose weight and be not diabetic anymore.
And the snack market falls apart, and Coca-Cola shares drop.
Oh, goodness me, what a complicated world
we have. Then those companies buy into they start buying pharmaceutical companies and start diversifying.
Yeah. I mean,
so then you get Mars GLP-1s. And, you know.
Roundtree, triple antagonist.
Yeah. Perfect. You could just order them. You could have Roundtree Rets.
Yeah, nice.
Just a little, like Rollos, but Rets.
There's some wild self-doctoring going on out there, people.
Yeah.
Fucking this, like, 150-kilo, super thick, over-muscled, fucked-up lad with an infected tat from Bali. Just, like, trying to list the things that they take to the junior doctor with me overhearing from the side of the vehicle. Just naming chemicals. Just going, oh, you probably don't know about that one, Doctor.
Random amino acids.
Yeah, and numbers and shit. Q3925 and, you know.
Seriously, and these are all presumably various kinds of proteins.
I have no idea. As I say, it was literally conversation overheard.
Vials of
testosterone prions, was involved. Right. I presume that there's all sorts of, like, wellness grifter supplement type stuff amongst it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Alex Jones supplement story as well.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's a great grift, right? Because you could even be selling people just sugar and crap.
And it comes with this whole complicated mythology that makes you simultaneously feel clever and know stuff the doctors don't know. That's often an element of this.
What the doctors don't tell you. I've done my own research and doctors are not telling you about it.
Yeah. If you ask doctors about this stuff, they won't even know about it.
Yeah, they'll just say no because it's not part of the establishment.
Yeah. No, they haven't heard about it because it's a grift you made up last weekend with your friend.
Oh, man. Anyway. The hustle is you have to keep on making more hustles. That's the deal, right?
Oh. Exhausting, huh?
It is exhausting. I'd really like to check out of it for a while, you know?
Yeah, okay. I was about to say, like some amphetamines can help you with that exhaustion, Sonny?
what do you offer me?
Amphetamines for the exhaustion. Everyone's doing it.
Oh, are they? Okay, yeah, maybe.
They really are.
There are a lot of people doing it.
Doritos down, amphetamines up.
Brand down? New cocaine Doritos. Water.
Doritos down, methamphetamines up. Yeah, nice. Back to the glass
cocaine
barbecue.
Water, that's a great idea. Surely wouldn't catch on, though.
Oh, I think it did.
Oh, shit.
I think it really did. But eventually they took the cocaine out because it was making people too happy. Okay, let's move on. There's a lot of follow-up things here. Some of them are just following up from a long time ago that I just wanted to mention on our way through. So David McBride, this is something we talked about a long time ago on the show, In the Many Moons. This is the guy who was the army lawyer who blew the whistle on the various war crimes that will eventually be prosecuted in Afghanistan. Mm. He had been involved in internal cases that were being kept from the public, and he felt that Australia's participation in war crimes was important to recognise. And some of the work that he did is work that we will eventually see. And before I go on a rant about that freaking Ben Robert Smith, we will eventually see some of David McBride's work and the things he was talking about in the Robert Smith prosecution. So,
I'm not sure if you caught the handmade large billboardy signs on the Monaro Highway calling for his release.
I did at one stage, yeah.
Yes, good.
Yeah. It's important stuff. He really was doing the right thing. Okay, next on the list here. Ooh, New South Wales Supreme Court over the last week had a go at the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. Did you see this, Gomer?
Yeah, and well said.
Beautifully said, right?
Well said.
Like making the point that a lot of Jews, among others, have been making. That
I know some.
You really need to not be conflating a religion with the state.
Yeah.
It's a very bad idea for everybody, right?
Some pretty clear comments about what the guy was actually doing and how the attempts to make it seem worse by reason of the suburb that his political comment took place in and so on.
What's interesting about this, and it being in a Supreme Court judgment the way it was, is that it has a lot more force than the outcome of a Royal Commission now, because it can be referred to in a court, whereas the outcome of a Royal Commission is just a piece of policy work that's sent to the Governor-General.
Yeah, this is in the body of law.
This is in the body of law now, so it has significantly more weight, which is interesting. Interesting, while there's these other processes going on that are clearly playing games around things like that definition. So.
Yeah, no, I thought that was really lovely, clear thought.
And well spoken.
Because, of course, I'm anti-Semitic on that definition.
Yeah, likewise.
The fact that I explained apologetically to my Jewish wife and asked her if she felt it was safe for me to be around her children.
Yeah, is she okay about it?
Well, it turns out she's anti-Semitic by that definition too.
Oh, no. Crazy, right? That's probably pretty difficult for her.
Yeah, and the kids probs too.
Yeah, oh well. I mean,
look, we're making the best of it we can.
It's a family thing.
It's tricky, bro.
Yeah, okay. Good luck. Keep going.
Yeah, thanks.
Alrighty, bird flu. H5N1 bird flu is getting a fair bit of news coverage because of its possible impact on the native bird and wildlife.
I'd better say birds flu is sort of understating it. It's kind of animal flu at this stage.
Yeah, right. So it's clearly cross-species barriers.
But mammals, it was just in birds, some sea mammals. It's typically a bird flu. That's what it's called, bird flu.
The sea mammals, you really want it to go for them, I think you were saying.
I want it to go for them.
Yeah.
No. I don't want all the seals to die. I just want them to keep the fuck away from me and my family. Is that clear?
I think you've made it abundantly clear over the years how much you would like the seals to stay away.
Just stay away. You can be happy. Prosper.
Can have a nice
make
life.
More seals.
But stay the fuck
just
away.
Keep the fuck away from me. Thank you.
Okay. Now, this bird, going back to the so called bird flu, the H5N1, is this the first time it's reached Australia?
No, there's waves of these things constantly. This particular strain had been around the world and devastating different sort of wildlife populations before it got here, and this particular strain has just gotten here recently.
Okay.
But there's always bird flus going around. I don't know if you caught, for a while they kept saying the H5 bird flu.
The
reporting. No. Yeah, it was just a sort of weird how little errors can propagate. H5N1 refers to like the particular bits that make up the flu virus. Mm. And so you can have an H3N3 or whatever. It's just a way of identifying broad lineages.
Right.
H1N1 is a big one, right?
Again, each year the different combinations of these sort of epitopes. They said we define them. The H1N1 was the swine flu year, maybe? Was that a H1N1? Yeah, anyway. The other group of animals likely to be affected are scavengers. which is heaps more animals than you imagine,
right,
apart from your dogs and foxes and crows and so on. Lots and lots of other animals you don't think of as scavengers scavenge quite a lot, like possums, for example.
Right. So possums will eat meat? Will
they? Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Fucking gang gangs. There's a picture I had in a book of gang gang within my house.
Right.
When they're feeding young cockatoos, will take meat sometimes.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all the others. H1N1 was the swine flu, 2009.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Which was a subtype of influenza A.
That was a really interesting one, because it was a hybrid of bird and swine and human flus.
Right.
And so there was speculation about if the vaccine production process had contributed to the virus because of the unusual combination of things.
Look, what do you make of the lab leak theory?
It's such murky water. That's the first thing to say. Is it plausible? Yeah. Is it likely? Just all of the other diseases came from animals to us.
Yeah,
like from measles to fucking, that's just the normal way it happens. And the, MERS, the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome one, was from a camel reservoir, I think. And it's just, that's the usual thing. So while it's plausible, the lab leak business, then I don't think we need to reach for an alternative explanation from the obvious one that we got it from the animal reservoir of it.
Without any evidence, it just keeps
happening. Well, yeah, and the evidence is so murkified. Like, you just you and I can't know what was happening in a fucking lab in China.
Yeah, now it's 100% bullshit.
Yeah, and it's information environment is so poisoned.
I'm big into that theory.
You're a pro lab leak, are you?
I'm totally, yeah.
It's totally plausible. Like, this is the infuriating thing about
this. The thing that seals it for me, there was 217 markers or something like that that they found in COVID-19 that was in this paper that had come out before it had happened from this company that had decided to outsource their stuff.
But presumably they were already doing research on animal derived viruses.
That was the whole
I think the paper was specifically about coronaviruses.
Right.
But in the context of the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome and the sudden SARS, whatever.
Yeah, SARS and MERS are of a similar sort of nature, right? Yeah. Coronaviruses.
Look, the Siberian flu of the 1890s was probably one of the coronaviruses which subsequently became a circulating, non-dangerous one.
Right.
So this is a normal sort of waves of virus that come to us. I don't think it's surprising they found whatever, common signatures amongst coronaviruses because they were studying coronaviruses.
Yeah.
But again, it's really hard to know.
It was in the normal case of, that sort of jumping from one species to another, there'll be a fairly low percentage of commonality in the genomes that will allow it to happen.
Once the virus jumps, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas in this case, it was I think over 90% commonality. It was if you had...
It would be improbable.
You couldn't have done a better job
if
you'd engineered it, which maybe you had.
I hear what you're saying. I would argue that there's so many things in nature you couldn't do a better job if you engineered it. That it's not surprising nature spits out a winner. But equally, again, I think it's totally plausible. But it's just we can't know.
Right.
Yeah. Look, I think it's plausible that it could be totally natural.
That's the thing. We got two
accidental
plausible
kind of.
Hypotheses and a poisoned information environment and no real way for you and me to distinguish between them.
Yeah, that's the problem. The poisoned information environment's really unhelpful.
Yeah.
And it's poisoned on so many things. Oh, my goodness. Oof. Now, just while we're on viruses, hemorrhagic fevers. How nasty
are they?
Got pneumonia?
Yeah. Oh, they're pretty fucking nasty.
Well, I've had one. I did not like it.
Which one did you have?
I had the dengue.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty It's pretty ordinary. It makes you feel pretty ordinary.
I had Venezuelan equine encephalitis.
Venezuelan equine encephalitis.
I didn't really, but I just thought you'd like that one.
I do like it.
Yeah.
I'm putting it in the notes right now.
I didn't have it.
I thought that was pretty fatal.
Yeah.
Most of the encephalitises are, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, high mortality, shall we say.
High mortality. High risk, not total
Not many
risk.
Of them are like, yeah, not many of them are universally fatal, like, you know, rabies and shit.
Japanese encephalitis, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, true. Murray Valley encephalitis. Mm. No fun.
Are there similarities between Murray Valley and Japanese, for example? Or,
I think so. I think Murray Valley and Japanese are part of one group. I would have to look at it to tell you which other ones are in which other groups. But they're not part of the hemorrhagic fevers, which is what you initially...
Yeah, sorry, yeah. So we did get a little bit distracted there because that's the nature of this game.
So I should have given you the Crimea-Congo hemorrhagic fever for a niche disease to excite Weebly.
Crimea-Congo?
Yeah. I think that might be an old name of...
Really?
The thing that came Ebola was one of those, but it's a historical name, I think.
Right.
I just know you love a bit of exotic disease in your
life. I do. I love a hemorrhagic fever with flavour.
Yeah, they're pretty bad, but not having a public health system is pretty bad, and being in a constant state of civil war and strife is pretty bad.
Okay.
And it's that combination that's making the current Ebola so very bad.
Yeah, it's
bad
really,
version of a bad disease in a bad situation.
It's chosen the right place to do it, right, as well?
You are, yeah.
Where it goes, I think death toll now is over 2,500.
It's partly about the death toll and partly about how far they are behind on contract tracing. And
oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
on,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. And it's got to accelerate.
Not being reeled in.
Right.
Yeah.
It's spreading faster than any other previous outbreak.
Yeah.
It's chosen the right place to try, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the centre is in Ituri province or in that sort of northeastern part of the country at any rate, which is where the, oh, shit. You still there?
Yeah.
I just lost my screen and worried I'd lost it all.
No, we're still here.
Recently settled down slightly, civil war, but still post-war chaos.
Mm.
And, yeah, a lot of people moving around. And
chaos. These diseases and stuff, they love chaos.
They do love chaos.
Feed on it.
Cholera.
Moloch.
Loves chaos.
Cholera, yeah, cholera loves chaos.
Yeah.
Mm.
And fucking polio, dude.
Oh, is polio back?
Creeping back in various corners of the world because of chaos preventing vaccination. Compounded by the CIA's unfortunate decision to use vaccination programs in Pakistan and Afghanistan, the intelligence foils.
Really unhelpful, huh?
Eternal ire of the locals.
It's important to remember that chaos is the natural state.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, us humans have developed ways of working together, and that's kind of why we continue to exist. So
natural systems
chaos is
characterized also by alternating periods of relative order and relative chaos.
Yeah.
I think there's a...
I mean, I think the very fact that we're here means obviously something about humans is not chaos.
But it's a constant vigil to have to try and impose that order.
Sure.
Or else the chaos will seep back in.
Yeah, as it is at the moment, we're in a whole bunch of different places for different reasons. But, I mean, it just, to me, it feels quite, like, the chaos feels quite diffused. There are not particular hotspots. The way I've seen chaos happen before, it's been sort of these isolated hotspots.
Chaotic attractors?
Maybe. Hmm. Maybe. And now we're just seeing this sort of general rising level of chaos all over the place.
I think that a lot of things people thought they could rely on to reel in the chaos have just been sleeping at the wheel or completely absent.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I think all of us had some kind of vague optimistic notion that if, like, a nation state was to just execute a genocide in plain view for a few years, then peeps might, stop selling them bombs and shit.
And maybe even intervene.
Do something, yeah.
But the whole, you know...
We've all been pretty well dissuaded of that notion.
Well, from the moment the Security Council had a veto exercisable by five massive imperial powers...
Hey, did you hear America came up with some money for the UN?
No, go on.
Like a significant amount of money. I can't remember how much.
Why?
Well, it seems that they were about to get kicked off for not paying their dues.
Well, that's probably the right thing to do.
So, yeah, a number, I want to say hundreds of billions of dollars, it sounds like too much, but we can Google and find out, I'm sure. But essentially, they paid a significant amount of their arrears, which has stopped the UN from hitting a financial wall of a kind.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I was wondering, why would they do that now after being so antagonistic, and it transpires that they were about to get suspended and lose voting rights?
So why not suspend them? Just remove them?
Well, yeah. You and I would say that, wouldn't we?
Well, I am very much anti them. And I'm not afraid to say it. They can come for me later.
Well, I think they're probably coming for you already. They're just a bit slow about it.
I'm pretty far down the list, I suspect.
Yeah, they got a lot in their hands right now.
Well, that's it, as the chaos rises. But, I mean, you just don't know when they're coming for you, do you?
What's that? Van outside?
Brum, 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 brum. Speaking of the chaos, the not a war seems to be pretty quiet at the moment.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
It's so weird. It's so weird.
It's so where strange, right?
They're still saying it's not a war, aren't they?
Yeah, it's not a war because if it's a war, they have to get congressional approval. So,
but they also said that the not a war that was before had stopped and there was now a new
different not
a war.
They've won it bigly.
No, it was about funding somehow.
Of course.
The memorandum of understanding meant that the other not a war that was happening before was finished and this is a new not a war because if...
After the MOU.
Yeah, because if you're in a state of conflict, you need to get parliamentary approval at some point after X days or whatever. So they were arguing that that had reset because this is different, not a war, to the previous not a war.
Because they made an MOU and then the Americans...
So then the other not a war was over.
That was a new not a war.
Yeah, yeah, because of Iranian aggression.
No, I think you'll find that there was clearly in the MOU what the US did was wrong.
Yeah.
I will.
Look, none of us should expect the Americans to keep their treaties. They haven't been doing it till now. Why would they start?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, at least they don't seem to be really, right now, actively installing right-wing regimes anywhere, which they were doing for a long time, right?
Yeah.
They're not very effective at it right now. And
I feel like they're at a bit of a moment of the megalomania hitting... reality, bumping up against reality a little.
Well, an opposition, right? So there are actual people who are saying, no, we're not going to take that.
Yeah.
Not Australia, but Canada.
Yeah, but also, like, just the bare fact is, it doesn't matter if Don Don says it's American territory now. It's as if
no
you
one
can
else recognizes
own
that.
A patch
so
of ocean
off.
On the other side of the world. Well, it also doesn't have any real effect if the same forces are in place with the same capacities and...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can declare it all you want, but it's not.
And bombing Oman isn't...
I know. How is that for a threat?
You can't have a stoogier state. There is not a state that is more of a CIA op than Oman, except perhaps for Israel. Oh, there's a couple of others come to mind.
Yeah, there are a few others.
Oman,
yeah, Oman has been a relatively... I mean, it's just been solidly in the allied camp, right, for a long time.
Was more or less smoothly handed over from English to US hegemony after Suez.
That was a huge naval base in Aden.
Right?
Mm. One of the things I read about the, you know, this whole thing with the USS, whatever it is, which one is it? Abraham Lincoln.
It's confusing because so many of them are having these issues.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's not just one aircraft carrier.
Yeah, I think there's some interesting mutiny issues they're starting to face over. All sorts of things, right? Anyway, I'd be interesting to see how well that military holds itself together. But what I was going to say was, one of the reasons why they've been at sea for so long is that the Iranians completely fucked the Manama port in Bahrain, which was how they were getting their resupply.
Yeah, okay.
So they were sending small boats up to Manama to get all supplies and bring them back down to the fleet, which is staying out of range to the Iranians. A 1,000 kilometres off the shore, and when the Iranians destroyed the Fifth Fleet's base in Bahrain, they had nowhere to resupply.
Yeah.
So, yeah, ridiculous.
Manama.
If only there was some kind of a war game or something they could have tried out beforehand, just to see how well Iran might have done against them in such a conflict.
How many times have we referred? How many times have we referred to the Millennium Challenge? We've got a new Millennium Challenge though as well, right? So the Millennium Challenge, for those who have not listened to the Harsh Couch before, is the 2002 military exercise which definitively showed that Iran would win a conflict of this very nature that's going on right now. But there's been one even better since, right? That one that was held with drones, where the Ukrainians destroyed various other European forces in an exercise with a single little group of drone operators.
Yeah, I read something about this.
Because the Ukrainians know everything about how to use drones, and no one else in Europe is ready for it. So, interesting change of warfare, right? When tanks
and
were the thing.
In microcosm, as North Korea gets some battlefield experience with drones.
Yeah, right.
And South Korea decides to dronify their armed forces and make it a priority that all units have drone capacity and drone pilots.
They should really think about it quite carefully, because there are a lot of North Koreans learning a lot of things in.
Yeah, totally. Right, but it's now just a funny contrast.
Yeah. And particularly in the context over this last couple of days, as well as that presidential monkey man has said that, you know, that the South Korean exercises of the US with the South Korean military would be cut short.
Yeah, because he gets on well
with
Kim. Because
he the North Korean man.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Crazy, right?
Totally wild.
Just totally wild.
And Jared Kushner is meeting with fucking Hamas boss.
Oh, I love it. It's like I think I sent a little snippet of this today about that the English guy who had been charged with.
I was just thinking of him.
Yeah, support for providing.
Providing encouragement.
Encouragement, yeah.
Or invitation or to support.
Yeah, to support Hamas. And he's a
really
Jewish
indirect.
Guy. He's a Jewish guy who published a couple of blog posts in the UK, right? But what was interesting is the speech he gave to the jury, he was acquitted by the jury.
Tony Blair can meet al-Shara.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally fine.
This guy here who's still killing the Druze and the Christians and the
Druze. Tony Blair can meet him, yeah, no worries. But I can't say, you know what? Genocide,
you know what?
Bad atch.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's a great summary. It was an amazing little speech. Yeah, juries need to start doing what they're supposed to do, I reckon. Which is, that's what they're there for, right? But these directions that judges keep on giving to juries that they have to act within the bounds of X, Y, or Z, that's the whole point of the jury system, is to make sure that what the people want goes, right? Anyway, onwards. Tobacconists and massages and barbers.
The bikey trifecta. Levant.
Is it the bikey trifecta? Now tell us about this. Is this they
have
established
you
these little clusters all over the place? I've seen the
Australia?
Massive numbers of massages that have around every road front in the Gold Coast.
But not explicitly sexual, but like the aesthetics are very heavily dodge coded.
Yeah.
Skeezy AF. There's
you can have the red LED open
suburban
sign.
Or small country town, or like medium-sized country town. There's like a dilapidated sort of 3 or 4 unit commercial building next to, but not quite in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And often I've been seeing this trifecta of a tobacconist selling bikey smokes, as we call them, like the untaxed dodgy trade.
Mm.
Get a packet for $7 ones. Barbers who take only cash.
Right.
And seem strangely reluctant to give you a haircut. Okay. And these dubiousness-coated massage parlours often popping up all in a bunch.
Huh.
But there have been, in this last couple of weeks, some enforcement action against illicit tobacco. About fucking time, I might say, because it's even more poisonous than the illicit product. And so the tobacconists have evaporated from some of these trifectas. I sent you a photo of an instance of this. Where now there's just a massage and a cash-only barber. And the tobacconist has vacated.
Disappeared.
So completely that the sign from the prior tenant says, pewters, sadly, above the window.
Pewters.
Pewters.
Yes.
Yeah. But, there seems to be a bit of a life hack that our biker gangs and a few other enterprising Australians have discovered, where you can use ATMs to launder your cash. And you can use barbers to launder your cash, and you can flog your cigarettes with cash that people take from the ATM that you're using.
Oh, brilliant.
And the barber then, anyone who wants a haircut, goes to the tobacconist because there's an ATM.
Okay. Yeah, so it's about taking in a lot of cash so you can disguise the other cash.
I have not checked, but I presume that the massage is cash only as well.
Oh, interesting.
Because that then makes sense of the whole business model, you see.
Okay, interesting. I do think that we need to do some things to protect the ongoing availability of cash. I'm starting to feel that cash is becoming rare.
More and more. My kids roll their eyes when I pay with cash.
Yeah. I mean, cash has always been traceable. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting it's not.
It's weird that cash is becoming seen as dodgy and associated with crime and crypto's not. Is that not weird or is that just my...
Oh, crypto mostly has now, though.
Okay.
Do you think? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what people's general opinion of these things is. What do you reckon, Colonel? Are you seeing... you seeing any attitudes to crypto that we should... can draw on?
Yeah, it's kind of cooled down a little bit, I think. I think the so-called dumb money has fled.
Right.
Do you think that paying in crypto is seen as, you know, dodgy or shifty in the way that paying in cash sometimes is? Or do you think it
depends on the crypto?
That?
Like, if you're paying in like some brand new thing, you know, that like Trump coin or some shit, you know, that is just so clearly dodgy,
if you're paying a bribe to Trump, you've got to pay it in his own coin, surely.
Yeah, well, but you know, if you're paying in like Bitcoin or, you know, Ether or some shit like that, it's generally
regarded as secure and less dodgy. Solid and normal. Yeah. Mm. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, if someone tried to pay me in Trump coin, I'd be running.
Yeah, I think. Did the dodgy money go to AI? Do you think, is that where it's all? Like, has it just followed the hype cycle?
Sounds like it's gone into peptides.
Ah, peptides, of course. Yeah, okay. There must be...
Less tobacco.
Peptides and tobacco.
I think the dodgy cash has gone into illicit peptides and tobacco. I think the real money, like the dodgy venture cap, has definitely gone to AI.
Yeah, right.
SoftBank comes to mind immediately.
Masayoshi-san.
But all of that whole fucking ecosystem is poor. All of the chips, they're just... It's 3 o'clock in the morning in Monte Carlo.
Yeah,
they're fucking
maggoted. Yeah,
they can't
walk
straight. They're bleeding out of both their nose holes, some caked accretion of blood and powder. And they're just like shoveling all of the fucking chips across the table into a massive gaping hole.
Putting it all on 13.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well. It's only everyone's lives.
Yeah, don't worry about it. What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it? Huh? What are you going to do?
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's bad. And yet, we can laugh about it, right? Here we are.
Nice.
Last bit of follow-up.
Of course, around these parts, it's all about the ice cream shops.
Oh, ice cream shops. Interesting. What kind of ice cream? Like gelato, fancy gelato places?
Or the kind of places that can sell you those dodgy tobacco products.
Oh, they sell them out of ice cream shops in Melbourne?
Yeah, they don't just sell them out of the ice cream shops. They don't take too kindly if your competitor's ice cream shops are selling them.
Don't take too kindly to your vanilla swirl around here, boy.
You better get yourself another flavor.
Find yourself a boysenberry ripple. So the ice cream shops are selling the smokes?
Yeah. They're owned by the people that are selling them. I don't know that they're necessarily selling the smokes out of the ice cream shops.
Part of an
but
extended...
the ice cream shops have been targeted. I was talking to a guy who lives out in Williamstown, and he was telling me about the same ice cream shop out there has been firebombed like four times in however many years.
I shouldn't laugh. Fuck me. So insane. And
he really reminded me of, right? Yeah, there was a. It wasn't an ice cream shop. It was a cafe or something like that in Yarraville, which I remember showing up to go to the cinemas, and people are all milling around, and this dude had been dude's place had been firebombed out in Yarraville, and that was the second time in a year that his place had been firebombed.
He had a paddle pop.
Wow.
Firebombing ice cream shops. There must be something else going on there, right? Like who the owners are, or there's something else going on. People don't just firebomb an ice cream shop.
So it's, I think, you know, they're targeting the owners more so than, you know, the...
It's not that they hate ice cream, is that what you're saying?
...products that they might have in the back.
That's it. Uh-huh. How do they feel about ice cream, you think? Not good enough to leave standing.
Because the reason he was telling me about it was he was telling me about the car that they use. Because what they do is they steal a car and then they set it on fire and drive it into the shop.
Wow.
And he was telling me about his car that had been stolen, and it wasn't used in a firebombing, but he was saying that like they used a car that was like just like it. And then that's what reminded me of, this place in Yarraville that I'd seen had been firebombed with that same kind of car as well, in exactly the same way.
So
set on fire and then driven into the shop.
Do you put other fuel and stuff in the car as well? Or?
Yeah, I was just thinking that through.
Not that I'm trying to encourage people to do this or provide an instruction manual of any kind, but
I'd be thinking like a dead man's
research.
Or a fall out the driver's side in first gear.
I'm not sure how much fuel they put into the car, but my understanding is that they threw in a Molotov cocktail in like through the window into it.
The car. Okay, to break it with the car and Molotov after.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so the car goes in first, not on fire.
I see. Oh, I think it'd be much more Viking if you could set the car on fire.
Yeah, I was thinking with like a dead man's brake and a Molotov strapped to the front.
Maybe just like a mop or a broom or something, just between the headrest and the pedal.
Fuck, that car got fried in the pictures they put in the dock there. Do you see the annealing on the metal at the back quarter there?
It's amazing. It got pretty hot.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's what reminded me of. So the front of the car is like not really that damaged by the fire because that the front's gone into the shop, and then they've chucked the Molotov into the back.
It's very Mad Max, isn't it? Like sending a flaming car into a shop. You know, like Fury Road. Like, okay, it's just me then, isn't it? Last thing on our follow-up here, and this is just for noting on the way through because doesn't add much to it for us to comment on it, but it's Chris Minns and his armed CSG guys. Do you see this, Gobble?
What could possibly go wrong? Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong, right?
I'm hearing a lot of CSG things through other channels as well. I just think this is...
It's not good.
Madness.
It's not good.
And I think the article makes the point. Imagine if we had a foreign government sponsoring an armed Islamic paramilitary force.
Which Islamic country are you going to allow next to sponsor an armed force in Australia? It's nuts. Chris Minns needs to just peel it back a bit, mate.
He's been reeled in a few times already by the courts.
Yeah, but something like this, he can just make the call, right? And what's going to happen? I mean, the police are not going to fight it to the courts. So,
what's going to happen? Who knows? But if I was, of any other group, like imagine if an Aboriginal militia got armed.
Yeah, right.
And decided they needed to defend community events.
Yeah.
Just barbecue area this situation.
Yeah.
It's fucking absurd.
Yeah, it is completely absurd. It just makes no sense at all. And it comes back for me a little bit also to the initial reaction to the horrific nature of the December shootings, which was to immediately make it about one group and not about this terrible thing that had happened in Australia, right? But to really, and to let it turn into a really political thing.
But also shades of America after 9/11 saying it's because they hate our way of life.
Yeah, right.
There's this complete failure to interrogate the reasons why people might be angry at Jewish people or Israel right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then 300,000 people go out and march.
It's probably the
about
Hummus
this
thing,
very point,
isn't
and,
it?
And Mins just pretends that's not significant.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What, dude?
What, worse than that, he basically tries to draw a straight line through, like, to it, and say, sort of say, hey, look, this directly led to that.
Not as bad as the fascists in Queensland and their, you know, refusing slogans. That's all going to play out along a lot more. I don't really want to get too much involved in it now. Let's move on. Things. One of the big political things over the last week, probably the only issue that's been interesting, I reckon, in federal politics, has been gambling reform. And I haven't followed it really closely, but my understanding is that the Uni Party basically did what the Uni Party does, which is make a deal amongst themselves. And they've basically left things alone. So, great. The only person who seems to have behaved in an honourable way out of this whole process has been David Pocock, who's continued to draw attention to the ridiculousness of our, you know, gambling situation in Australia throughout. So be it. You still there, Gobber? He's wandered off, I guess. We'll leave Leaky Weirs then until he returns. Now,
so the gambling stuff, like, it's so very head in the sand. A little bit like the domestic violence stuff,
right?
We sort of feel like it seems like if we ignore it, maybe it'll go away.
Or that there's this thought also that it really is a thing about freedom, in some weird way, even when you see all the damage it does and to both communities and families and individuals. But somehow,
because it's one of the things that where we sort of lead the world, actually.
Not the regulation, like, of it, but the use of it.
The availability sort of lack of regulation of it.
Yeah.
Because I think the UK has started to open it up, and the US now has followed suit, but they're all behind us in terms of how open we are compared to their gambling laws.
Well, remember, it's moved massively in this country as well. When we were kids, you could bet at the TAB, and there was an on track, and that was it. And on the horse racing, right? There was no betting on other sports.
Yeah.
And you know,
that's what I mean. We've been, like, sort of leading the world,
and we've just opened it up again and again and again. And
opening it all
New South
up
Wales was the only place that had poker machines when I was a kid, right?
Yeah, then, yeah. I remember. I think it was in Queensland they opened up a casino, and it was like a huge, was it Jupiter's casino?
Yeah, huge deal.
Hobart one.
There was the Hobart one, yeah, Rest Point, right?
Yeah.
And that was such a big deal, but there was a casino in Australia.
Yeah.
And now we've got poker machines in every pub everywhere.
And ubiquitous telephone betting.
Yeah, right.
And every
right.
commentator on every sporting event referring to odds constantly.
Well, and every sporting team being sponsored by a betting company. Cricket, football.
Yeah, but it's goes so much beyond that. It goes so way beyond that. You get stuff where basically people will get targeted. People will be given basically like free money. They'll be encouraged to gamble, but only if they fit the profile.
So they're looking for somebody who's going to get hooked.
Yeah. So they look at the gambling patterns, and they basically label Like, they tag people as, like, these are the suckers, basically. And they're the ones that they encourage...
Keep them in the game.
To bet as much and frequently as in as large quantities as possible. Whereas those who they look at their patterns and decide that actually, I reckon they actually know what they're doing. They try their hardest to dissuade from gambling.
Right.
And that sort of stuff, that sort of tracking and, a lot of these people have, they get put in touch with somebody who's like their handler.
Right.
Some of the stuff from the Royal Commission was pretty damning about that.
Yeah.
Calling them up. I'll fix you up for another 1500, mate. Don't worry. Put a few extras on there for you.
Yeah, right.
You coming to the footy on Sunday?
Yeah, free tickets to things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right?
Corporate box.
The kinds of stuff that you can...
And even cocaine and hookers, apparently. Literally.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting.
And yeah, this is stuff where, like, overseas, they're only just starting to catch up to us.
Right. I mean, some of this stuff must have been happening in Vegas, presumably.
No, that's the thing. Like, oh, really? They weren't allowed.
We're leading the world in unethical gambling behaviours.
I think maybe.
Totally.
Oh, that's so good. You've got to be good at something.
I aspire to be good at rivers.
We'll come back to rivers, don't you worry. Rivers are on the list there.
I have the madness.
This could be a 5-hour episode if we talk about rivers, though.
That's okay.
You have them on the mind.
Only.
Let's just finish with gambling, though. We're not going to get any change, right, though, because we've had an agreement now. The only thing is they're going to phase out the sponsorship of sporting teams in 6 years or something.
It's so 2032. It's so piss weak.
So piss weak, and no other restrictions. I mean, and as we were saying just before you came back, Gobber, the Pocock seems to have been the only person, David Pocock seems to have been the only person who's behaved honourably and ethically throughout the debate. You know, just tried to do the right thing.
I think there's quite a few others who've been more or less shut down.
Okay.
But he's not the only sensible voice, but he's certainly been prominent.
Good. It's nice to hear that there are others. Alrighty. Leaky Weirs.
Weaky Leers. Nice.
Weaky Leers. I think we might... Should we save that for rivers?
Yeah, do we have a rivers section now?
Not yet.
It strikes me that Leaky Weirs relates back to Low Head Dam very nicely.
It does. We should have a little... This could be another little river interlude.
Leaky Weirs were in the news this week because in barren, brown Britain, of all places, the damp Emerald Isles are all just brown and burnt.
Yeah.
The places where they have been doing restorative
rewilding.
Rewilding is their particular version of it. It overlaps with restorative agriculture in terms of what they're physically doing.
Mm.
But essentially... letting water take its course through a landscape in a way that maximises capacitance and slows the flow through the landscape.
Yep.
But in the news this week were these lovely, well, horrifying photos of a whole brown landscape with this like bright green belt of trees and plants thriving, where you've let the river find its own course, let the wetlands fill.
Yep.
And anyway...
And its own little microclimate and everything else, right?
Yeah, but Leaky Weirs are in the news for that reason. Leaky Weirs is the version Peter Anderson famously did in Australia.
Yeah.
And got scoffed at for decades before he kind of demonstrated, actually, you guys are fucked. Actually.
A bit of a classic Australian agricultural story there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could be worse, right? I mean, the dust bowls of Oklahoma and elsewhere in the... 20s and 30s.
Yeah, we had our own dust bowl. We forget. The Federation drought.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
We flogged it too hard and then the weather took a turn and everything turned to shit.
Yeah.
And massive dust storms and so on.
Oh, we're heading for another round of them probably.
The northwest of New South Wales is still recovering from that event.
Right.
Visibly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Onwards. Now, we were talking about about diseases earlier, and we missed some of the new rage in America, the United States of America, is just preventable disease, right? Particularly food safety issues.
Running low on interceptor missiles, running rich in diseases. I don't think I put the E. coli blueberries outbreak in there.
Oh, nice.
No, I don't think I did. But the lettuce diarrhea outbreak you've probably heard about.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
So there have been many thousands of cases of people just getting explosive, copious, frequent, watery diarrhea because of the food safety system being broken, it would seem.
This is the cyclosporiasis, which is not being properly monitored now.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of the organisms they chose not to continue monitoring, and lo and behold, we have an outbreak.
Ta-da!
But the patterns across the board, and you know, the jalapeno chili outbreak of Salmonella, for example, this week is another example of a failure of food safety. Whereas the child dying of a brain-eating amoeba in Louisiana is a slightly different one.
Oh, is this Niagli or
Naglerite? Exactly.
Yeah. This these happen every now and again, man. They happen surprisingly frequently, I reckon.
They happen more frequently. I think that article's the one with the numbers in it, but they are happening more frequently. But historically, it's been associated with pondages where power plants discharge water and heat.
Interesting.
Because it is happier in a slightly hotter
warmer
world.
Water, yeah. So it's a
yeah. So
it's the same sort of body temperature water, perhaps.
Yeah. So that's the striking thing about this one is how far north it happened.
Right.
And it's not in like artificially heated water, like power plant discharge.
And
so it's just increasingly happy to live in the environment.
Remind me how it enters the body.
Up your nose hole.
Up your nose hole. But how does it get from your nose hole into your brain?
Through the ethmoid plate, where it's kind of...
Hang on, whoa, through the what?
That's like the easiest way into your brain.
Excuse me while I cough for 1 minute, eh?
Is this how you get the chopstick in your brain as well? Is it through the same hole? And spell the name of that plate.
Well, it's the smell holes, right?
Above your nostrils. If your nostrils went upwards, which they don't actually...
Yes.
To a point above and between your eyes...
Right.
Then there's a little bony sieve, which is the ethmoid plate.
Ethmoid?
Yeah, E-T-H-M-O-I-D. And like your olfactory nerves, which is like your first cranial nerve, go forward underneath your frontal lobes and project little tendrily bits out into the world.
Tendrily bits?
Yeah, for the smelling of world.
And so the amoeba,
and so the naglerai.
Amoeba can get through there.
Yeah, if you drink water with it, you're fine.
But if you get it up your nose...
Then brain-eating amoeba.
Wow.
There was a great book I read a long time ago by a sci-fi author called Greg Egan. And one of the things that he had in that book was... It was like set in the future where they developed... nanotechnology, which allowed you to rewire your brain, and the method of delivery of the nanotech was a nasal spray.
Right.
So you
makes
just
perfect sense.
Sprayed it up, yeah, and it delivered it straight into your brain through your those smell holes.
Yeah,
up your smell holes.
A little perforated plate for the reception of nanobots.
Oh wow. I'm just looking at a three-dimensional... For those who are listening to us on a device where they can look this up, in the show notes there'll be a link to the ethmoid bone, and it's a little 3D model rotating, showing me exactly where the bone is.
Nice.
It's very impressive. A little animation of the ethmoid bone, as they say.
Engineering.
That's going to be... that could be the show title, The Animation of the Ethmoid Bone. Either that or Amoeba Up Your Nose. Get some. Get some. Yeah, look, so the food thing is also... I mean, there are other CDC issues, of course. We've talked a little bit about the measles in the past.
I was going to say, yeah, measles has to be on that list as well, though that's not a food one. That's just a failure of public health one.
So presumably we're going to see more of these anyway.
Well, now that they're making people go to the doctor six times instead of once to get their kids vaccinated.
Oh, that's awesome, isn't it? That's such a smart thing. Because that won't discourage people from having vaccines at all. They'll be certainly keen to spend six times as much time.
And it's not like we'll be seeing the consequences in the future. We're seeing the consequences of this already.
Yeah, right. We're currently living through the consequences of their education system being completely broken.
Well, yeah, and worsening from bad.
Yeah.
For me, the one of the most interesting parts about this is the fact that this is an effect of the monopolization of the food supply. The supply chain, the various supply chains that get the food from, I mean, let's face it, they're factory farms.
Yeah.
to the supermarkets, to the tables, you know, or fast food outlets or whatever, are all, you know, either bought by, you know, belong to directly or bought by a subsidiary of, or, you know, merged with, amalgamated with, basically a part of the exact same machinery of the one single company.
Which means
that when that one company has a failure, they all fail altogether.
The jalapenos.
They've got no choices to go somewhere else.
Yeah, right.
The jalapenos with the salmonellos, that was the same mob who fucked up the lettuce. Taylor's Farms, I want to say. I'm just trying to remember the name of the people who it was. But yeah, this lovely... Taylor's Farms sounds lovely. But yes, they're massive corporate. Yeah, I mean, the Taylor's industrialization farms. Of the process is part of the problem, but certainly when you're all owned by 40 variants of the same company, then something like a change in how effectively you regulate production goes across the whole industry immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it Tyson? Is that who you were thinking of?
Tyson's the chicken one, isn't it? No, Taylor's is the... God was right. Taylor's is the one that is responsible for the food ones.
Right.
The salmonella one was definitely Taylor's.
Yeah, they're the ones. The lettuce people as well were the Taylor's.
Were they?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because there's
also just the industrialization is part of the problem, the scale of these things. When everybody had a house cow, nobody got the diseases that everybody all of a sudden got.
When lettuce could be transported to industrial scale, right?
Yeah.
But you think lettuce, iceberg lettuce, I mean, it's not designed for shipping, right? Really?
Yeah, it's not meant to last for days and days.
No, it's not meant to be put in a container with 1,000 other iceberg lettuce at a very specific temperature and shipped to another state where it's shredded and sent out to Taco Bell's in bags.
Mm.
Like, oh, no, that's not, that doesn't make sense for lettuce at all. Anyway.
Yeah, I remember seeing a thing on the the meat that you get packed in the lovely plastic packaging at the supermarket now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all lovely and pink and, you know, it's, you know, it's been sitting in a refrigerated container and has traveled a vast distance to get to you.
Yep.
And the reason it's so lovely and pink is because I've actually put
pink in it.
Gases
into the nitrogen in the
vacuum sealed plastic packaging with it.
Mm.
To keep it looking like that.
To keep it from oxidizing the way it would if it was just sitting out on a butcher's shelf.
This is like the fresh food people, Woolworths, keeping apples up to 15 months in anoxic cool rooms.
Yeah, right.
A fraction of a degree above zero.
Right. Man, fresh the food supply. Fresh food
people.
Not exactly. I mean, the apples, The apples are famously kept for long periods, definitely. Mm. There was something else I was thinking of with the food there. Anyway, I've lost it, of course, because brains.
Yeah, you lost it quite a while ago.
Yeah. too many amoebas.
Yeah, it was not too many amoebas.
You gotta stop snorting
power water.
Oh, come pondages. On, guys.
Yeah.
Just from the hot tub. Just snorting the water in the hot tub. That is one place that people have got them too, right?
I don't know of cases, but it just occurred to me that was a hazard of the hot tub.
Hang on, I'm just going to look it up. Amoeba hot tub. It
makes sense. They like hot water.
That's a great name for a film, Amoeba Hot Tub.
Yeah, that search could not possibly go wrong.
Yes, it could.
Yes, it could, and it did.
Oh, dear. Ooh, is there a risk of getting a brain-eating amoeba from a hot tub at a hotel or swimming pool? I have flu-like symptoms, and I'm scared it's the start.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, dear. Very good. Very good. Nice work with the hot tub. Food. We were talking about food, and there was some... I had something that I was... Oh, it was about the amount of water that's in some of those minces as well. We definitely talked about this because it happened in the intervening period, but I think it was the Sydney Morning Herald, Fairfax 9 or whatever, who did some analysis of how much water is added to those minces to bulk up the weight of them, and how when you cook them, that one of the reasons why they're so hard to fry is because they have so much water in them.
Yeah, okay.
And it's been mixed in at the time of mincing, right? So it just bulks up the weight.
Yeah, shameless.
It's like putting lead filings
in your 50 bag.
Like what, sorry?
Like putting lead filings in 50 bags.
What? Who does that?
Someone in Leipzig in about 2008.
Seriously?
There was
leading to lead poisoning?
Yeah, sideroblastic anemia, precisely.
Wow.
There was a cluster, and now I may have the date slightly wrong. I want to say 2008. But yeah, it was published, and there's this little photo of a little... 50 bag with some pot in it and all these filings at the bottom.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's so bad. Some
Eastern European mafiosi were bulking up the weight with lead filings.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then these random young people started showing up at this particular hospital in Leipzig with, the particular anemia associated with lead poisoning.
Wow.
Because you get it in really well through your lungs. Oh. Much better than through your skin.
Or fabulous. Your Hence yeah. the some of the issues with tetraethyl lead, right?
Yeah, and also Mount Isa.
And also Mount Isa. Tick.
Oh, dear.
Oh, lead. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Onwards and upwards. Right, I can't find the thing about the mince. I'm going to have to keep on looking for it, but there was a review of different minces from different places.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I posted that. I don't think it went into the food channel, though.
Meat? Okay, we'll find it. We'll find it. Alrighty. Next on the list here. Gosh, we've got lots to get through before we get to rivers.
No, we might not even get to it today, but that's okay because the rivers run on and on.
The rivers
and on.
Do they though? Do they run sufficiently?
Sufficiently. That's another 5-hour episode on its own.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Deep sea mining. You want to
summarise
this for us, Gobber?
Look, where do you pick out what things are bad in a world where everything is constantly bad all the time?
Where there's so much bad everywhere all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Guam and the Northern Mariana Islands are in the North Pacific, just a little down from Japan, a bit on the right, if you like. They were originally Guano Islands. Are you familiar with this whole Guano Islands thing?
Yeah.
So that time when America said that anybody could go and pick an island if it had guano on it and then declare it a part of the United States of America. Right. Sorry?
Looking at Nauru, but it was not
Nauru.
It was not one of the US Guano Islands.
No, but that was very much a Guano Island, but we got it in the end. Whereas places like Guam and Northern Marianas Islands and some places off Colombia were just sort of arbitrarily declared American territory by freelance guano hunters back in the day.
Freelance guano hunters, that's a new band.
But the guano hunters of today are looking for lithium and other metals in nodules on the deep sea floor.
Right. Polymetallic nodules, right?
Yeah, and they're just going to... they're proposing to open up areas for exploration in a large strip on either side of the Northern Mariana Islands and Guam, with a little wildlife refuge sort of tucked in between the two massive areas slated for exploration. And the mode of recovery of the metals basically is dredging the ocean floor and taking the heavy bits.
Yeah, right. And just letting all the sediment get stirred up and
all the metals that was in the way get broken. Well. And yeah, it's a thousand disasters waiting to happen. So, of course, the locals aren't very fond of the idea, but Guam is basically a colony. It's a territory of the United States.
Colony. I mean, it is a colony, right? Yeah. Is it?
The NMI's got a different arrangement.
Do they call it something else?
Yeah, yeah. NMI is something like a Commonwealth of the United States. And it's meant to be autonomously governed.
Yeah, but bullshit.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
That's so that they don't get a vote, right?
I think NMI, they get a vote in whatever their local assembly situation is, but no, not in American elections. And Guam, absolutely not. They're just total dependency after the old
and
imperial
it's mostly
style.
Military base, right, Guam?
I don't know.
Or is there an actual population?
No, there's a population of Guamese people who mostly live off tuna fishing and don't like the idea of having the ocean completely fucking smashed.
Yeah, fair enough. Guam. Was it pirate guano hunters or private guano hunters?
Private guano hunters.
Oh, okay, sorry. Just checking. Pirate guano hunters is my band. I was
but Guananiers.
The Guananiers.
I was trying to melange Buccaneer with Guano. It didn't work very well.
No, Guananiers is good, man.
Yeah, great. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, okay. Right, so this will probably go ahead, although it's
there's a bunch of other deep sea mining proposals.
It's Trump being Trump as well, right?
This is Trump being Trumpy. So I feel like we've talked about this before, but I'm not sure. There's an international body which has been trying to arrange some rules and regulations around deep sea mining, right. And various people's projects had been stalled pending the outcome of this process. And a couple of mining companies took action against the international body, saying you need to allow us to apply for things, at least if you're saying you're regulating them.
Yeah.
And so there are applications pending, but no one's doing it yet. The Shackleton Fracture Zone comes up in this connection often. That's the broken bit of crust in the Drake Passage between South America and Antarctica.
Oh, we talked a little bit about the Drake Passage.
We did talk a little bit
previously.
About the Drake Passage. The Shackleton Fracture Zone has like a ridge that more or less extends from Tierra del Fuego to the Antarctic Peninsula and defines the boundary between Pacific and Atlantic Oceans.
Right.
But it also has a booty pile of polymetallic nodules.
Right.
And that's one of the sort of hot areas for prospecting.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that area to the south, right down there in the south of South America, is also has rich ore deposits of other things anyway, right?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure down there there are a bunch of metals down there.
Quite would make sense. There's some very folded and it's old Gondwana crust.
Yeah, right, okay. What is that right down the bottom there? Chile goes all the way down the side, doesn't it?
Chile goes all the way down the side. Tierra del Fuego goes
it's
right
not
down
very
the bottom.
Volcanic, is it?
Tierra del Fuego got bent upwards in the course of the opening of the Drake Passage, which is kind of interesting, like on a little hinge point. What were you saying? It's not very volcanic? No, it's not. It's our edges on the Western Pacific have got very ancient oceanic crust being subducted. It's much drier and it makes more volcanoes.
Mm. Okay. I've thrown a picture in the show notes of metals processing. I don't think that's not showing ore locations, right? It's processing, but presumably you're only processing where you're actually getting ore, in most cases.
Yeah, that would make sense. Lots of bits of Gondwana have old crust, which especially for like iron ore and so on is right. The red beds and the Pilbara mountains of ore come from that old Gondwana crust.
My parents have just been up in northwestern Australia, and some of those land formations up that way are extraordinary.
The banded iron formations.
Oh, yeah. Pretty striking. Yeah, pretty wild.
So they're from a very much older period in Earth history.
Right. Earth history.
Earth history.
Hello, Earth history. Look, taking a veering off into Rumtown politics for a moment.
Oh, good.
Yeah. How closely are you following this ICAC shit show?
Pretty closely.
Yeah, are you? Because I've sort of gotten lost on it a little bit. I've seen some of the names and I've heard some of the great stories. I mean, like the guy who's mysteriously managed to factory reset his phone.
Oh, whoops.
I managed
to push the three wrong buttons with different fingers at the same time.
No, it's because the bank told him to, which is something that you could easily ask the bank if they would ever tell somebody to do that. And the answer is they would never tell somebody to do that.
It's kind of gratifying to those of us who worked in public service of one kind or another to have all of our suspicions about how shit works confirmed again.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And to realise these people...
Petinos? She realised she'd been completely fucking shafted.
Mm-hmm.
And had a story about how on Friday Dom Perrottet was saying she had his full support and on Sunday he called her and just... without any engagement, just deadpan, no, you have to leave. You have to go. That's all. It's over.
Yeah, right.
Having obviously been strong-armed on the way.
Yeah, there's a lot still to come. But I do have some sympathy for the point of view that these are really just the disgusting problems that are inside a party, right?
To a degree. I think they're pretty egregious examples of...
They're definitely egregious examples of, but is it...
So you've got like the basic good governance notion that development in northwestern Sydney should slow down a little until the infrastructure can catch up.
Right.
And as punishment for that notion being brought, a extremely wealthy developer who's prohibited from participating in politics orchestrates a bunch of really smart but not at all clever young liberal fucktards into a wholesale attempt to have the building commissioner evicted, to have ministers removed from their posts on concocted shit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think it's a pretty egregious example of it.
So it is definitely interference in the business.
Straight up
government.
Right. Yeah. The problem that the developer had was that he had all this land he'd been stacking up in northwestern Sydney to develop.
Right.
And so for the building commissioner to suggest that it should all slow down was like... He took it as a personal affront.
Causing financial problems and a personal affront.
Yeah. Yeah, and anyway, it's ugly as fuck, but nice to... It's good to know how the system actually works, even if it works like this.
Yeah. It is good to have a little bit of insight.
And again, illustrates the need for a federal ICAC, which has again been defanged.
Yeah, and that's one of the endless disappointments of the ALP, isn't it?
Hmm.
Mm. Very annoying.
Endlessly disappointing. If only the disappointments of the ALP had to come through the Straits of Hormuz, they would have slowed down a bit.
If they were being shipped on that evergreen tank, you know, container ship. Just disappointments were just lodged in the wall of a canal.
You know, Ormuz, the island, is where the Persian court retreated when the Mongol hordes came through.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, they made like a pleasure palace and went, yeah, right. I see Genghis coming and we're fucking out.
We are out.
I saw the pyramid of skulls in Baghdad and decided it was time to build a palace on an island.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll tell you a funny story. I lost a phone earlier in the year, in around January, February or so, and it was replaced with insurance and everything else. There's no problem. That's not the point of the story, but the point of the story is that I left the phone, because once you go through this insurance process with Apple, they ask you to leave the phone tracked and so on. And so
leave it tracked?
Leave it, if it's attached to your account, so that they can keep an eye on where it shows up.
Okay.
Well, where did it show up? But in a shopping mall on the island of Kish.
Kish?
You know, the Iranian island.
Oh, Kish.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's where my phone last pinged.
Wow.
So we're somehow it got somehow my phone got from here to there and then was powered up and connected there somehow.
In Kish. That's wild.
In the period between February and July, I think it was, when I found it there.
Have you divined any sort of clues?
No, because I have nothing more to go on than that, and it hasn't appeared since. That's the last place.
Wow.
It appeared. So presumably it was being stripped for parts or something like that.
Don't know. It's so fascinating.
So weird. So strange that it should that should show up there. Very, very odd.
At least that's your story anyway.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well known.
Yeah. Okay.
Iranian plant, Wibbly Lamont, spills the beans on the Harsh Couch exclusive.
About the location of his phone. Yeah. Right. Right, yes, okay. Berlin swimming days.
Yeah, this was
What's going on in the Germany?
In the Germany, the particular incident is that a community group decided to have a black-only swimming day in a swimming pool in Berlin because often people don't feel comfortable swimming or whatever.
Yeah, but there's a lot of racism, and if you can...
It prompted a lot of racist backlash about how we don't need safe spaces in Berlin and so on, despite the fact that various other groups had their own little, exclusive swimming afternoons, women's groups, school group, church groups, etc.
Well, and the fact that a racist response to this is exactly why it's needed.
Yeah, well, there's that. Right. But it just reminded me of the sort of curious centrality of the swimming pool to the racist project and how often there's been like major political and social moments around swimming pools and skin. What was the one in America where the guy poured the acid in the pool after the black and white protesters
in Florida,
jumped in? James Brock, here he is. In 1964.
Oh, the motel manager in a...
Yeah, he got upset because the protesters jumped in the swimming pool, so he poured acid in it. And of course, the Freedom Rides.
Yeah.
Moree swimming pool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nutso.
So it's just a curious little culture note. There was a fitness group in Netherlands a couple of weeks ago. There've been a series of little incidents like this recently, where people seem to be looking for fights to pick.
Right.
Around people doing their own thing.
Well, here's another wacky one. I mean, it's sort of tied into that because it's the weirdness of people and sport and stuff, which is this business of in American women's NBA, people throwing sex toys on the court.
I've come across this, yeah.
Right? In a women's basketball league at a professional level in the US, and there are men going to these games and throwing sex toys. What the
fuck? They're doing it for the fucking clout or whatever. I can see how they got there, but what the fuck, I agree.
Yeah, like just, why can't people just...
Not be cunts?
Just not be cunts.
Yeah.
All you've got to do, Buddha right? Said. All you've got to do is just try not to be a cunt.
Yeah, just like Buddha said.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Ah, man. But they can't not be cunts.
Have you never been to a game?
I've been to a few. Not the sex toy ones, though.
How do you tell people to not be cunts?
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
We could try, though, couldn't we? Just for once?
No. Sorry. Can't.
Man. We will have to come back to... I think we've got another week to go on the Alan Jones trial.
Oh, yes.
And that's
going to
be quite juicy
that.
When it all sort of washes up, I think, as well. So
who would have known that he was a dodgy, fitty, kiddling pedophile?
Oh, wait, all of Sydney knew. It's such a surprise.
Oh, wait, for like 50 years.
Yeah, because everyone knows the stories of him showing up on the wall and with his rolls, right?
Yes, indeed.
Everyone knows those stories.
Yes. And how he loves the footballers.
Public secrets. That's what the intentions would call them.
Anyhow. Yeah. It seems a shame that he's probably going to die before he gets prosecuted or shortly thereafter.
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, it would have been nice if it could have affected his career, for example, to have been...
Yeah, it would have been nice if all those people who knew it was happening had at one stage raised their voices.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean when I say it seems a bit late.
In a related story, I just read something today that said that Hugh Hefner had contacted the FBI to warn them about Epstein.
Wow.
Because one of the Playboy bunnies or whatever else had told Hugh Hefner stories of being trafficked and abused as a teenager by Epstein. And Hefner, she said that she thought Hefner would be a person who the FBI would believe.
Yeah, as they should have.
Right? And that was 15 years before.
Yeah, wow.
15 years. Anyway.
It's hard to get someone to listen to a thing if they're trying really hard not to hear.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's that classic, their livelihoods dependent on not hearing that.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
Upton Sinclair.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Oh, look, we're back on the Brumbies as well. Shoot.
Yeah, everything old is new again.
Just as we're about to get to rivers, because there's a good Brumby River connection as well.
Okay.
Well, mostly okay. Just that they destroy waterways.
Yeah, they're kind of pretty destructive of a lot of our...
I think the Couch has previously taken a position that Brumby culling is the only way to go.
Yeah, what I'm noticing is that the people standing up for the Brumbies are an increasingly weird kind of... aesthetically fascist, explicitly environmentalist thing.
Yeah, right.
So I invite you to look at CarmenJacksonHeritage.com about.
Right.
Have you got the image there?
I have now got it.
Yeah, would you describe that image and what it evokes for you?
Well, for a start, it's very AI.
Okay.
But what is it evoking? I don't know. It's really quite odd.
Okay, what are you seeing?
Let me describe it. Firstly, the background is a red ensign, the red Australian flag.
An odd choice.
Clearly the work of a cooker.
Yeah, cookers. Straight up cookers.
Really obvious. Yep. Like, that's the number one thing.
Go on.
On the right-hand side, there's a picture of Brumbies destroying an alpine habitat.
They're depicted as... striding majestically with snow-capped peaks in the background.
I think they're destroying an alpine habitat. And on the left-hand side, there's a single horse looking not like a Brumby at all, actually, looking more like a thoroughbred.
Very much like
with
a
an unkempt mane. But, it's AI-produced, right? And so what are you going to get?
Yeah, okay.
You're not going to get the look of a Brumby. What have we got here? One country, many stories.
I think it's trying to evoke Man from Snowy River.
Save Our
Heritage.
Man
from Snowy River meets Breaker Morant.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
There's like a military flavour to it. There's a gold star above her head, and she's got a red poppy and also a purple poppy. What's the purple poppy? Are we queer inclusive Breaker Morant meets Man from Snowy River? Do you see where I'm going here?
Yeah, it's
like this whole implicitly fascist, explicitly environmentalist.
Okay, here you are, the purple poppy. Is a campaign recognising the extraordinary loyalty and courage of all animals who serve alongside our military in times of war and peace. So it's an explicit connection to military working animals, presumably horses and dogs, right?
Yeah, so she, at 7:15, filed an injunction trying to stop them from shooting Brumbies in the national park up north.
Oh, no.
And it's this, again... to me, really weird conflation of all this fascist dog whistling about protecting our culture and our heritage and so on.
Right.
With this sort of environmental-ish, because it's not really environmentalist. Like, it's not good for the high country
breeding
to verminous proportions.
What confuses me about this is if these horses are worth saving, they could be saved by breeding a captive population.
And there have been various attempts to, like, you know, yard them up and then sell them off and have people have them as their pet Brumbies and so on. But they're wild animals.
Yeah.
They're not domesticated horses. These aren't things that are easy to look after or cheap. And so it hasn't really taken off when they've done that in the past.
Yeah.
And again, it's a little bit like the mouse or any other sort of vermin. It's not that they've become a part of the environment and they fit in really well. It's that they'll breed at the expense of everything else until they destroy it, and then they'll die too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just good management to cull them.
Yeah. But we just have to have less wild horses in parks, right? If we're serious about using the parks to save...
Yeah, if the purpose of it is to keep our wild places and things, then having horses is antithetical to that purpose.
But also we can set aside some land for Brumbies if we have to, but not necessarily the most fragile environments. These are horses. They'll survive.
Yeah, also right? There's a kind of weird fetishization in people who celebrate our white history and crusaders and things like that.
Yeah.
Of horses. And there's a kind of a... soft-sit flavour to this person who filed at 7:15 in the morning of the day it was due to commence.
Yeah.
To protect our culture and heritage. And again, I sort of get a bit red-flagged when someone mentions our Australian culture and heritage and there's no blackfellas anywhere at all. No mention of Aboriginal people.
Yeah.
Mention of any prior history to cunts running around on horses.
Oh, man. Where does this woman come from? Who is she?
She is a candidate for somewhere. Where is she? I mean, what is she standing for? Brumby Protection Activist Carmen Jackson is
standing for the upper house, right?
In the ABC article. Yeah, I think so. And that picture was from her campaign.
Oh, there's another fantastic picture on the action page if you go to...
Where are we now? Yeah, I'm trying to find
the picture. In the top right-hand corner of the... It's another
her action page. God help us.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, much the same sort of flavour. It's kind of military, but not quite.
Scroll down and there's another big horse picture. Again, not really very Brumby looking, but go for it.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, man. Trouble. Trouble with a capital T.
And where are they? Anyway, I won't even start. These people want to protect the Brumbies. Where are they at with protecting, like, the birds? And
yeah. We'll get right on it after we protect the other animals that are not wild, destroying. Yeah, anyway. The horses.
Deers, foxes, pigs, horses.
Wild horses?
Yeah. Who's going to ride with your wild horses? Who's going to swim in your blue seas?
It's a question I have to ask myself often.
Who's going to taste your saltwater kisses?
Yeah.
Who's going to take the place of me?
Right. That brings us...
Depends. Yeah, I was about to say, I see Rivers is next, but I feel
I think we might hold off Rivers.
Yeah. There's too much.
It's a massive topic.
And it's going to keep, like, just
cropping up. It'll keep. And we're already at an hour and 50.
I'm hoping to visit a bunch of rivers in the next several weeks.
You're hoping to?
Yeah.
Which way are you going?
Northwest? I'm going to go north in a while. I'm going to check in on McCall and make sure he's all right. He's strangely silent tonight, hasn't said a word.
Yeah, I think he's just overwhelmed by the architecture of whatever buttfuck country town he's in right now.
And then I'd quite like to see the Condamine on the way to the Clarence.
The Condamine?
Not least because the upper Condamine was probably beheaded.
Oh, really?
Mm. By the volcanism associated with Main Range in southeastern Queensland.
Right.
And so what was the uppermost Condamine has now become the northern part of the Clarence catchment. Do you follow? Okay.
Yeah, I'm following.
Yeah, little mountain range popped up and made the northward running upper Condamine become the southward running northern half of the Clarence catchment.
Interesting.
Yeah, I reckon.
Okay. Yeah. Right, well, let's leave Rivers for another day.
Yeah, sensible.
Now, Colonel, are you responsible for the Big Bang Bunk?
I mean, I didn't create it.
Right. But you didn't make the Big Bang happen. But recent research...
I'll chuck that in there.
Recent research is changing our perspective on our place in the universe.
Yeah, but largely thanks to the James Webb telescope, I think, which has been able to look further and further away from where we're at, and thus closer and closer to the beginning of the universe.
Right.
And thus it's throwing into question the idea that we all sort of grew up basically accepting to be, you know, the best theory we have for how the universe works, which is that it was all created through a Big Bang.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the middle of a very, very slow explosion.
Or maybe very fast. We just don't know from our point of view, right?
Or very far. Well, yeah. Well, one that's taken billions of years, but yes.
Just looks very
the speed, I guess, is a relative term.
Yeah.
It's fascinating stuff. The business of being inside a black hole and so on is mind-bending.
Yeah, it really is.
But I've got to say it. I'm just going to say it. I'm just a country boy. I'm not an astrophysicist. But as long as these cunts are smoking that fucking dark matter bullshit, you're all fucking wrong all the time. And also that fucking dark energy, don't even get me started, cunt. Fucking I'm serious. I will go yous with a fucking knife if you come around here talking about that fucking bullshit. Is that clear? So like I said, I'm not an astrophysicist, but I think they're barking up some wrong trees.
Yep.
And their models are going to spit perverse results.
And if they talk up the dark matter stuff, you'll be on
fucking
it.
Dark matter, cunt. Seriously. Nah. I'm sorry. Nah, don't even. You just said come it. On. Now I'm provoked. I feel triggered because it's not there. And like you keep building more and more sensitive dark matter detectors and not finding dark matter and saying, ah, but we've narrowed the threshold for where it is. It must now be less than X energy.
It's hiding.
It's like, how about it's not, cunt?
It's hiding between the other things.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not, yeah, what they're selling, I'm not buying.
Are you buying it, Colonel?
I thought they found some. Didn't they find some?
Yeah, show me. They didn't find none because there's no such fucking thing.
Could it be the absence of the other matter?
If it is the absence of matter, it's not matter. It's like pre-diabetes. This fucking drives me crazy.
Yeah,
you people talking about pre-diabetes. I take
who's metformin. Talking about it?
My patients, they go... I'm on metformin. I go, oh, what's that for? Diabetes? And they go, no, I've got pre-diabetes. I'm like, okay, so you're taking a medicine used for diabetes to control your blood sugar. Yeah, yeah, my doctor said I've got pre-diabetes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, you got diabetes, cunt. It's not a problem. I'm not here to judge, like, your metabolism. But, like, if you're taking the medicine for the disease and it's making you better, you probably, I don't know.
That's probably a sign that you have the disease.
Drives me fucking crazy.
Does it drive you more crazy or less crazy than the mental elf?
A mental elf? It gives me mental elf, that's what. It gives me anxiety depression.
Anxiety depression?
Yeah, it's the plague of our ages.
Well, you be careful, because if the anxiety depression continues, you'll end up getting trans.
It's hard to say what could happen.
Yeah. They do lead on, though, don't they? Mental elf.
Apparently so.
Anxiety depression.
Yeah, trans. Gender.
Gender, then trans?
Yeah, no, just gender.
Yeah.
Brackets, NEC, close brackets.
NEC.
Not elsewhere classified.
Oh, dear.
My brain has been melted.
What's melted at this time?
And look, was I have the dark not been matter? Near... No, I have not been near warm waters that could harbour brain-eating amoebae.
It's the fucking sauna.
Yeah, it could be.
You've been snorting that all that sauna water.
Is that what you've been doing? You should not do that.
I have had a quarter of a century of exposure to New South Wales Public Health emergency departments.
Have you put a lot of lukewarm liquids up your nose?
No. I just hung out with mad cunts long enough. I think might have rubbed off a little bit.
Might have.
Yeah. I'm going to take a little break for a few weeks.
I think we're going to be the judge of that.
Yeah, I'll report in like 3 weeks and you can tell me if I'm mad or less mad or same mad.
Okay.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, okay. We'll come back to you then.
Great. Good. Lovely to talk, boys.
Well, it's been a lovely, lovely long chat. We're almost at 2 hours. Fancy that.
Perfect.
It's a nice round time.
Brilliant.
Thank you for your Thank you for your chats with me. I love these conversations. Do you know, during
it's been
the,
a pleasure.
During this very show, a fan of this show wrote to me to say thank you for the show.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that nice?
Awesome. Gratifying.
Yeah, yeah. Look, have a great week, both of you. Yeah. Hopefully we'll find Mr. McCool next week as well. He can tell us about the architecture in rural Queensland.
Yeah, nice.
He's been out there selling plastics.
Because we haven't got enough.
Yeah, that's what he said to me. He said, I reckon we don't have enough plastics out in the world. I'm going to go out to rural Queensland and spread the plastics.
Good lad.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a known deficit.
Yeah. I mean, how are you going to get in the food if you don't get it out there?
Yeah.
Farewell. Have a lovely week.
Lovely.
See you later. Too.